I'm going to be turning 65 in May. This will be my 16th year. And I calculated over the weekend that I have driven about 276,000 miles going back and forth to Boston, probably another 33 or 34,000 miles in the district. And so I think it's time for someone else to pick up the mantle and represent this district.
And you've represented the district for 16 years. Talk a little bit about the district.
The district, it's a very interesting one. I represent South Hadley, Hadley, East Hampton, and half of Granby. So in Hadley, for example, I've got, you know, the best asparagus in the world grows there, a lot of open space. In East Hampton, I've got a community that really saw how to retrofit and reuse the factories from the old industrial days. I've got bedroom communities in South Hadley and Granby. So each community is different, but they share, you know, the same issues that everyone in Western Massachusetts does. You know, there's the relative lack of public transportation, a need for better roads and additional dollars for roads because of the fact that people have to drive everywhere and we don't have an MBTA. Healthcare issues in terms of the availability of our community hospitals and local providers. So it's really I think it's the best job in the world. The opportunities I've had, the people that I've met, and the chance to try to make a difference, whether it's through some legislation, whether it's through budget items. I never took a political science course in my life. If somebody had told me that I was going to be a politician at some point, I would have said, you're crazy. But I've done, you know, the state house gig now for almost 16 years. I'm in my 16th year as a state representative. Before that, I served almost 12 years on the select board. So I spent over a third of my life doing this, and I wouldn't trade it, you know, for anything in the world.
What was it that got you into the political game? I mean, I know you came from the Board of Selectmen, but what was there any one particular issue or cause that made you run for state representative in the first place?
Well, actually, what happened was Nancy Flavin, my predecessor, announced that she wasn't running, and within an hour or two, I had about a dozen phone calls from people saying you ought to consider running. And I really enjoyed, you know, serving on the select board. And so I thought, well, it's an opportunity. And really, I think the thing that made me do it, ironically, was 9/11. So I ran in 2002. I ran, you know, a year after 9/11. And what you learn and what I learned from that tragic day was that, you know, life could change, you know, in a heartbeat. And so this was an opportunity that might not come again. And so take a chance. And so if you choose to run and you lose, well, you gave it a shot. And you wouldn't spend the rest of your life thinking, what if? And if you ran and you won, you could see whether you liked the job or not. And if you didn't like the job, then go and do something else. If you liked it, then try again. And it's, you know, it's ironically... elective office is the only job, I think, in the world where job performance is irrelevant in some respects. There's no performance evaluation. So you could have somebody who is the worst person ever who continues to hold that job because the voters reelect them, or a person could be the best person in the world and simply be voted up by the voters. So what you know, my hope is going forward is that people will continue to recognize the opportunities and the value and won't shy away from taking a chance. I mean, the worst thing that happens is you lose. If that's the worst thing that happens, you know, all in all, it's not bad.
Well, looking back, what are some of the things you're most proud of in terms of legislative accomplishments or work for constituents?
I think legislatively, as many people know, I have a hearing loss in both ears, and I'm really proud of the fact that we were able to provide insurance coverage for hearing aids for children. Massachusetts, like most other states, have newborn hearing screenings. So two parents just have their child born, child is screened, and they find out that the child has a severe hearing loss or could be deaf. Prior to that bill, there was no opportunity and no guarantee that insurance would pay for the hearing aid. So that child would be disadvantaged as they try to learn language and speech evolve and the like. And so that's an important one for me, as was a bunch of other things dealing with persons with disabilities. My wife worked for the Department of Children and Families and encountered over a six-month period, I think it was a half dozen cases of children who were seriously affected by shaken baby syndrome. And so we filed legislation to create a statewide program that would actually train parents and teach them to never, never shake a baby. And it's been extremely successful. The frequency of shaken baby syndrome dropped. The cases that occurred subsequent to that training happening were cases where the people did not get the training. Those were preventable injuries, and our ability to prevent them really meant a lot. Above and beyond, I mean, constituent services is number one. I've had the best staff. People who aren't sure how to navigate the system, people who need some assistance, whether it's, getting a handicap placard for someone who is just undergoing surgery, or individuals who find out that they've lost their health insurance. Whatever the issue is, we've always tried to be a resource, and that's the most important part of this job. But at the same time, we also had opportunities to make history. Same-sex marriage, the healthcare reform, where we virtually assured that everyone would have health insurance, were two major pieces of legislation where Massachusetts led the way, and clearly other states followed us. So to be able to participate in that really was wonderful and something that nobody could ever take away from me.
What are you going to do now?
Well, I'm going to spend the next 10 months working like crazy. I still have bills that I want to get through. I still have budget. I have a meeting with the Ways and Means Chair tomorrow or Wednesday in terms of my budget priorities for this year. So I'm going to work like crazy, knowing that I only have 10 months to get everything accomplished that I want to do. After that, my wife and I will be moving to Florida at some point in the near future, after January. And I don't know. I may go back to teaching. I mean, I've taught at the college level in the past. Who knows? I think there may be a need for some reform, maybe more reform in Florida than there is in Massachusetts. So maybe another run for something may be in the works. Who knows? Whatever I need to do to keep busy.
What are you? I know you made the announcement Sunday night mm-hmm. at a meeting of your. Well, talk about it. Where and when did you make the announcement? It was last night.
I had an event last night. We for a number of years have had a winter reception, and so I invited people to this reception, and some people. Because we said it was complimentary and, no checks, no contributions.
So that was the giveaway right there.
Well, except, I haven't had an opponent since 2002. I have a campaign account that certainly could pay for the food last night. Last night was really an opportunity, although not everybody realized before they got there, to thank people, to thank them for their support, thank them for the trust that they placed in me. And so it just seemed appropriate that the people who, some of whom, were involved in the first campaign for the South Hadley Select Board in 1989, was the first time I ran and I lost. And that was the last time I lost. So they were there for the campaign in 1991. And others have come along the way. Just an opportunity to say thank you. And I felt an obligation to let them know before it was made public.
Are you endorsing a successor?
No, I'm not planning on it. I don't even know who's going to run at this point. And there, you know, a couple of people have expressed some interest. And what I said last night is I made the announcement now to give people ample opportunity, A, to think about it, you know, think about the drive, think about what this job entails, think about whether it's the right time for you to consider it. So once they go through that self-reflection, there's a matter of, you know, getting the necessary signatures prior to city and town clerks by May 1st. Meeting voters and expressing, you know, what it is you hope to do, and then going through the logistics of running a campaign. I didn't want to do this at the last minute and have people either rush in or say I didn't have enough time to consider it. So it seemed as though February would give them ample opportunity to think about it and to do what's in their best interest as well as the district's.
What would your advice be to somebody who may be weighing a run?
If you have any interest in doing it, why not? But I also think, you know, you have to understand that what this job entails. It truly is a 24/7 job. My predecessor, Nancy Flavin, said to me, you know what the best part of this job is? And I said, what? She said, Christmas shopping. I said, Christmas shopping? Yeah, you go Christmas shopping at, you know, we're out of session. You can go at like 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning when there's no one else around. There's that sort of flexibility, but there's also the multiple events, you know, in the evening, in the weekends. So you've got to be prepared.
And it's working until midnight on the state budget.
That's right, exactly. Also, you know, in the last few months, prep is getting worse. I've had three or four times home that it's taken me 3 hours and 45 or 3 hours and 55 minutes to get home from Boston. So you leave early in the morning and, you know, you get back late at night and lo and behold, something came up and you have to go back the next day. So I think the travel can take a toll, but you have an opportunity to be a part of history and to make history. I think I mentioned last night, several years ago, I said to my wife, my one regret is I didn't go to law school. And at the time, never had an interest in going to law school. And she said, well, you know, you can still go. And I said, you know, why do I want to go to law school? I make the laws. And that's the other part. I mean, you have an opportunity to influence and affect the Commonwealth, the people, I mean, this, you know, in the future. And that's really... it's really an exciting possibility for anybody who decides to do it. It's been fun. I've had the opportunity to meet some wonderful people, some great colleagues. I've had the opportunity to meet a couple of former presidents. Certainly by living in Massachusetts and getting involved in Massachusetts politics, you certainly have the opportunity to meet a number of presidential wannabes. I mean, a number of candidates we have. It's hard to describe the full scope of this. I think the one piece of advice is be prepared to work hard because your constituents really deserve that. There are some people, I guess, who could coast in this job, and that's not what this district expects nor what this district deserves. I think it's important to give it your all and to adequately represent the district. And also knowing that on any given issue, you're representing 41,000, 42,000 people. You're going to have people who will support your position and will be absolutely opposed to your position. Make sure that you're willing to take the tough votes and make the tough decisions. And if so, then this district will be well represented.